from north to south, from east to west, the folks who want the best, listen to
Internet Radio for smarter than originals.
Hey yo, what's up y'all? This is DJ Spooky, that Subliminal Kid, giving y'all a wild style shout out. You're rolling with a podcast that's licensed under the Creative Commons license. So I just want to say, check it, download it, remix it, transform it. This is all about the wild style remix. So once again, Creative Commons, y'all, DJ Spooky, wild styles in your area, subliminal minded.
You are listening to a First Nations Intelligence Bulletin report transmitted from Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Radio Intelligent Indigena.
Radio Intelligent Indigena.
Radio Intelligent Indigena.
Keeping the fourth world informed one listener at a time, this is Internet Radio for Intelligent Aboriginals.
Radio Intelligent Indigena.
News service.
This is radio for the people who made the first, second and third worlds possible. Radio Intelligent Indigena. Indigenous talk radio for real human beings. Powered to all the Aboriginal people and their struggles across the fourth world.
For more information, please visit angryindian.blogspot.com.
Radio Intelligent Indigena.
Now,
this is Radio
Gentle.
I'll be talking into your heart, into your head, in just a few moments. All I want you to do is just lend me your ear for the time that we will be together.
Why do you want to die, Grandfather?
Because there's no other way to deal with a white man, my son. Whatever else you can say about them, it must be admitted. You cannot get rid of them. There is an endless supply of white men, but there always has been a limited number of human beings. We want today. We won't win tomorrow.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
Welcome along. Transmitting to the fourth world from in occupied North America. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena. Internet radio for the indigenous masses. Hey, you know, I'm here, you're here, and the world is falling apart around our ears, isn't it? You know, I just had to get that out before I read my usual spiel in the beginning of the show. I mean, I still mean it, you know, Salaton and peace to the original people of the earth, my people, your people, the First Nations, those of us who recognize ourselves as the real human beings. I'm your host, Angry Indian. I serve as editor of the Intelligent Aboriginal News Service at angryindian.blogspot.com. And you have, again, tuned in to Indigenous news, thought, and analysis on issues and causes that matter to the First Nations and other communities across the world living under imperial, theological, racist, classist, neocolonial, and neoliberal control. And you know, every show I read this, because it's accurate, because I think, you know, okay, I'm covering everything that the news blog and my editorials and this podcast, like what it's supposed to be about, what I'm supposed to be about, right? And, you know, I continue with, I welcome back my brothers and sisters of the fourth world, our non-Aboriginal ideological comrades, and the ever-present eavesdropping spooks listening to what might be said here about how their masters manipulate, eviscerate, and ignore the original peoples and nations of this planet. And I end with, this is Radio Intelligente Indigena, Internet Radio for smart Aboriginals, and all others who give a damn about social and human justice. But see, here's this. Now, while I say all of this, it's not a joke when I say, you know, welcome back to my brothers and sisters of the fourth world, our non-Aboriginal ideological comrades, and the ever-present eavesdropping spooks. Underline, the ever-present eavesdropping spooks, listening to what might be said here about how their masters control us. Okay, so I sound like I've got a tinfoil hat on and I've totally flipped my wig, right? But no, brothers and sisters, and everybody else that's listening. You see, what makes me radical? And radical is not a bad thing. See, that's one of the things that we've been, you know, that's been drilled into us. That simply really isn't true. Radical comes from the Latin word radix. The root. You see, a radical wants to get to the root of something. Whatever philosophical question it may be. Existence. Nothingness. A priori, free child in space. All of that stuff. You know, 5,000, maybe 6,000 years old in, you know, Aboriginal philosophy. Asia, the subcontinent of Asia. But, you know, it was regurgitated by Nazis in the 40s, regurgitated again. I mean, really, you know, absorbed and then vomited out by hippies in the United States and some parts of Europe, mostly England, in the 60s and 70s, and they faded out with everything else, you know, especially after Altamont. It wasn't safe anymore to deal with the counterculture. So yeah, you know, these things have been around for a long time, and it talks about, you know, more than what is materially in front of us. And I dig it. I really do. I really, really, really do. I dig it. You know, and I dig it on a spiritual as well as a Western scientific, you know, level. Of course, the two aren't supposed to mix, but, you know, says who? You know, not us. I mean, it's usually Europeans to say this, but then they employ spirituality when they want to demonize someone. You know, so now that we're about to see Katrina too, now known as Gustav, come through the Gulf of Mexico, you know, it's already ripped through Cuba, and it's going to hit Louisiana again. It's probably going to be a bad one. I mean, so bad to the point that the Republican-turned-Democratic mayor down there, Ray Nagin, you know, one of the, I don't know, the select chocolate politicians that, you know, like what's his name, Williams, Walter Williams? You know, like that. You know, I mean, flamingly proud of being Uncle Tom's. You know, I mean, I've been an Uncle Tom. I understand it. I understand it more than I wish I did. You know, I actually lived that, which probably explains why I'm able to do what I do here. Honestly. You know, it's the Tom's. It's the people who have one foot in, you know, white society and the other foot firmly planted, even though shakily. You know, I mean, you know, it's not grounded. You know, the roots aren't as there in the mind, you know, as it should be. But spiritually, you're there. You know, so we learn how to talk to white people, learn enough, you know, I mean, long enough that we learn how to use computers and we start looking at books that we normally wouldn't have read in the hood. You know, we start finding out that there's other ideas. We meet people from different parts of the world who have different life experiences and so on. So, you know, we grow. We get to see things that our brothers and sisters don't see. But see, but what I'm seeing here and what all of the other radicals are seeing is that, you know, this, you know, fascism now, to talk about fascism, it really isn't a joke any longer. And I know people have used it lightly. And they're really in error. But I'm going to tell you, they are tightening the noose.
they are tightening the noose. I mean, they're totally remaking. We've had Mukasey here. And I know, you know, whatever the hell the left is supposed to be and whatever the hell the right is supposed to be, all I see is a bunch of Europeans trying to maintain some sort of positive status quo for their own power and privilege. This is what I see. And, you know, in the meantime, we have the Democratic National Convention taking place in Denver, Colorado. And the police are this, excuse my French, fucking up people wholesale. You can go on YouTube, you can go to Inteligente Indígena Nojo Servo, and you will see the video for yourself. You'll see the photographs. ABC producers are being arrested, detained. They're not allowed to speak to anybody. You know, and that's just the Democratic Convention. What the hell is going to happen at the RNC? You know, I know people were throwing around, you know, recreate 1968 when the Daily, you know, political machine just came down on, you know, what became the trial of the Chicago 7. See, it was really the Chicago 8, but no one thought enough to include brother, you know, homeboy from the Black Panther Party, co-founder of the Black Panther Party, Bobby Seale. You know, they actually, and I know this is amazing, and white people today, even if they are aware of this stuff, don't want to discuss it. I mean, you know, they want to talk about terrorism, and now they're using race
as a factor for profiling people. I mean, they've always been doing it to African men in the United States anyway. It was part of Bill Clinton's, you know, new crime bill, for those of you who have paid attention to that. But, you know, what it really comes down to is that they're slowly locking down. You know, they've had their Reichstag fired. And, you know, they're now, you know, something's going to happen. You know, I mean, you know, this is almost like Nostradamus, you know, the bear versus the eagle. And seeing, while I know it sounds like I'm rambling, I'm not. You know, what I'm trying to say is, for those of us who are aware, who are awake, whatever it is that we use for consciousness, whatever philosophy, whatever lack of philosophy, for those of you who have turned off your televisions, put down your PDAs at, you know, sometimes, who have been paying attention, you know, it's been said that American-style fascism is not going to look anything at all like, you know, what the European, you know, forms that we've seen. They're going to be talking about 1776 and waving the American flag and talking about no taxes. Well, we're going to get into more. This is the Angry Indian, and you are listening to Radio Inteligente Indígena.
This is Howard Zinn. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced false news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured, targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
And I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower of a TV. You know, TV was obviously on, and I used to fly myself, and I said, there's one
terrible president. The only video we've been told exists of the plane flying into the first tower spent the entire day in the videographer's camera at ground zero. So what video did Bush see?
Now, with more than 1,700 American troops dead and many times that number wounded, the Downing Street memo is relevant. The facts on the ground tell us there were no WMDs in Iraq and no links to 9/11. So, was the president misinformed about these issues? Or was intelligence being fixed to support an invasion? To read the Downing Street memo, or for news and information about it, go to the website afterdowningstreet.org.
You are listening to Radio Intelligente Indigena, the internet radio broadcast of the Intelligent Aboriginal News Service.
For more information, please visit angryindian@blogspot.com.
Slave mother. And you are a good mother. You are going to prepare your children for adulthood, yes? In every society, there had been something called rites of passage, which is movement from your childhood into adult, meaningful work and support of the clan. Rites of passage. We have now adopted the term adolescence, which is a European term, by the way. It was developed in Europe, which now gives young people permission to lose their minds. We just say, oh, yeah, they're adolescent. Not in my house. I guess they just didn't get to be adolescent in my house. But we did then began to give them permission to be insane during that period. But before that, we had rites of passage. And if I'm a slave mother and I'm a good mother, I am going to prepare my daughter to be raped. Come on now, I'm not going to let my little girl walk into that blind, am I? Not as a good mother. I wouldn't do that to her, so I'm going to say, baby, and I'm not going to wait till she's 18, assuming it's going to start then. I got to pull her out at 8, 9, and 10 and say, baby, here is what's going to happen to you. Here is what he may or may not do to you, and this is what you might want to do to make it hurt less. And baby, don't scream, because it may make it worse for you. And baby, they come, and I don't know if it's going to be one or two or a group of them, and I don't know how many times, but surely they are coming, baby. This is what they will do to you. If I'm a good mother, I will prepare my daughter for pathology. And when that night comes, when they come to wrestle her away, her father stands next to me, helpless, as she begs him to help her. But y'all are free. And what we have to understand is the nature of that injury. What it did to emasculate the father. For a mother to prepare her daughter for something she could not humanly think was okay for her. And then she had her own traumas. And remember, mama hypervigilant. And daddy has got outbursts of violence because he never got a chance to heal from his injuries. So then they say, but y'all were free. So now the second question is, after American chattel slavery officially ended, did the trauma stop? So not only did it not, you're not getting healing from the original trauma, the traumas continued. Yes, I don't want to make it up. Am I telling the truth? Okay, well, let me go back to history in case folks, do you know who Emmett Till was? Was that during slavery? It was not, but let's go back and look at what happened directly after slavery, because directly after slavery officially ended, meaning someone crossed the T and dotted the I, do you think they stopped enslaving us? No. So you had something called peonage. You can do the research. Peonage means the unlawful selling of slaves back into slavery. So there was a fair number that said, I don't care what you say, I'm going to keep my slaves. And then when they got broken down and caught, they moved to the next level. They said, well, you know, we can't re-enslave. You know, but we're going to develop some codes. We're going to make it so there is nowhere for them to go. So that means that if you enter this city and unless you work for a white person and they signed off, you better not be here. You have no place to be unless someone white is being taken care of by you. And then they said, well, we can't do that anymore. Lord, look, what? Can we lease them? So that's when we created something called convict lease. If you want to know where the original overrepresentation of black people in the criminal justice system began, it began with the convict lease law. So now they're saying, well, can't we lease them? Well, in order to lease them, they got to be in jail, don't they? So now we've got to figure out how to get them in mass in jail. My God, did you look at a white woman? No, get 100 years of lynching so you can understand the kinds of things they were arrested for. So now we have all of these chain gangs, and 25% of them died while under convict lease because there was no protection for them. But y'all are free. And then we had the civil rights movement, right? And prior to that, you know, when we started to look at the whole notion of how blacks live, you had sharecropping, right? But they didn't really share, did they? So when we start looking at that, you became, it's basically indentured servitude, only worse. And then we said, well, separate but equal. And truth be told, during Separate But Equal, you know, that's when, you know, the Klan arose and Reconstruction, all those things began to happen. You look at that whole notion of what happened to us. The promise of freedom. And during segregation, actually, we were doing quite well. You know why? Because we had to depend on one another. We had to get beyond the lack of trust we had because we were all we had. And so you were the banker I went to. And you were the school I brought my children to. And you were the hairdresser. And you were, that's who you were for me. You were my community. You were my tribe. And we economically blossomed. Tulsa, Black Wall Street. And what they did when we prospered was they leveled us. And I know that people, you know, tied a ribbon on because they said the worst disaster on American soil, the act of violence, was the Oklahoma bombing. 171 people, we had a moment of silence for them. Who tied a ribbon on for the 300 that died in Tulsa? How come we didn't know that? Either they didn't count as human, or they were trying to run from the dissonance. So what we have to understand is, how long then have we been free? 38, 39 years? But y'all are free. But see, yeah, but Joy, that was a long time ago. Surely you don't think that we now possess the behaviors or any. Well, let's take a look at that. And I'm going to share with you some of those behaviors. Because, you know, it's called adaptation. It's learning to adapt to living in a hostile environment. We have normalized. We in this room have normalized our interests to such a degree that, and of course, white people have a disincentive for us to look at it. Because then they got to look in the mirror. And so let's take a look at what it might look like up close and personal with you and I. Because, you know, we learn from the generation that precedes us. One of the things that I learned to do is I learned to cook at my mother's side. You know how we were talking about that the other night. We had the blessing of being in the home of Brenda Ross and her husband John, and they cooked the real meal. They laid it out for us. And she was talking about how she made those apple dumplings, and her daughter goes, "But did you write the recipe down?" She said, "Ain't no recipe." You know. And that's how it goes, you know, because you learn that way. My mother, when I would, you know, go out and I would learn to cook. My mother, you know, I'd go out and I'd go grocery shopping with her. And, you know, and I noticed that whenever my mother came to the point where she was going to buy tomatoes, she'd only buy four. I don't know, just four tomatoes. To this day, I can't get a fifth one in the bag. Can't do it. I've tried. Can't do it. You just simply don't need more than four. My husband, I said, you know, we break to go still get some tomatoes. He came back, a whole bag of tomatoes. I go, "Oh my God, that's a whole lot of tomatoes you brought back." He said, "But didn't you say we needed tomatoes?" I said, "Yeah, but we don't need that many." He said, "Well, how many do we need?" I said, "About four." "About four?" Now, that's innocuous. That's not going to hurt anybody whether I buy, you know, four tomatoes or not. But there are other things that we've adapted to. They're not innocuous. When we began, I had a woman say to me, and it really crushed me. Actually, it was a young man that talked about his mother. And it was a camp, a basketball camp. And I was working with black male athletes. And I was talking about responsibility, relationship, and sexuality. And when I was talking to this one young brother, he said to me,
hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. Thousands of sick and dying patients find marijuana effective as a medicine, including cancer, MS, and AIDS patients. 9 states have legalized its use. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Is for everybody. Curious or confused? Get information or a pamphlet at most pharmacies or a health clinic. If you need help, see a doctor.
A new Russia, a new reality. The conflict between Russia and Georgia gives us some idea of things to come. It shows more than conflicts in Eastern Europe, the extra costs of the Iraqi imperial adventure. For America, though it would dearly love to intervene, hasn't the troops nor the materiel to engage the Russians on Georgia's behalf. Instead, it is relegated to the sidelines while French President Nicolas Sarkozy mediates between the two sides while the U.S. issues press releases. The U.S. media has once again echoed the administration line, which points Russians as the side which provoked the conflict. But most media can only do so if it ignores news reports from early August, which stated that Georgian troops attacked rebel fighters in South Ossetia, an impoverished mountainous region which won independence from Georgia after a bloody war in the early 90s. The Russian incursion also shows that the country, now flush with cash, is a far cry from the debtor nation of a decade ago. This was a demonstration as much to Georgia as it was to the world of a new Russia, aggressive, armed, and willing to enter the former territories of the Soviet era. Russian aggressiveness was made possible in part by its recent oil wealth. As a major oil power, it has profited from the rise in prices since the Iraq invasion, which sent prices soaring worldwide. The actions of one state influences the fate and actions of other states. Russia saw an opportunity, provided a justification, and seized it. Sound familiar? From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
Hey, what do you think about this idea? Since we freed the slaves in 1865... don't you think the black race owes the white race reparations? I was thinking like $20,000, you know, per person. I mean, anybody that's not on welfare.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, the anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
The message is that there are known knowns. There are things we know that we know. There are known unknowns. That is to say, there are things that we now know we don't know. But there are also unknown unknowns. There are things we do not know we don't know. And each year we discover a few more of those unknown unknowns.
Internet radio for smarter originals.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Welcome back, welcome back. This is the Angry Indian, and you still, if you've managed to hang around long enough, listening to Radio Intelligenta Indeed. There's a couple other things I want to bring up before we get into mail. Sketchy Thoughts, one of the better blogs in Canada. I really like this guy. He's not native, but, you know, he includes us in his reporting. And he's a Blogspot blog. You really need to check him out. But he put up a press release from Critical Resistance. They're letting their people know in New Orleans that, you know, the prisoners and the families of New Orleans really need our help. If you haven't already heard, Hurricane Gustav
Falwell, you know, who's not, you know, with us any longer, you know, he said that because of the radicals that I spoke about earlier, you know, you and me, that, you know, it is our fault that New Orleans is, you know, is wrecked. It's our fault. It's the fault of the feminists, it's the fault of the liberals, of the gays, of the lesbians, of the S&M people, you know, protesters, the civil rights activists. This is what he said. The Republican convention is screwed up now because of this hurricane. But they don't seem to be blaming anyone. You know, it's just nature. But when it's something, you know, when it's an act of nature that affects, you know, all these poor people, all of these African people, well, you know, it's divine intervention, straight from Providence. Well, what they want everyone to think about, you can read the rest of this at angryindian.blogspot.com, is that, you know, they're evacuating people. But Ray Nagin, the chocolate governor of New Orleans, used to be a Republican, but went Democratic to get in office. Kind of like Bloomberg, who was a Democrat and then became a Republican to get in office. You know what? You know the leftovers of Rudolph Giuliani, but you know, who didn't do a damn thing doing 9/11. Okay, he didn't do a damn thing but help Larry Silverstein get paid. But that's something else. But in any case, you know, people are still going to be lost. But let me tell you something else, though. Now that we're on that, hell, now that we're on that, do you know that they are putting, well, they've already put in Tyler, Texas, or whatever it is, where they have these people, they have electronic monitoring devices, wristbands, that they have to use to be able to be allowed anywhere on the property, the facilities, whatever you want to call it, to be able to get this half-ass help that they're going to get from the Bush administration. They have electronic monitoring devices on all of the men, all of the women, all of the children. So, you know, what does this basically come down to? They are already monitoring, right, the rabble, you know, the great masses of the unwashed, these people who had no other recourse but to, you know, use the municipality to get their asses out of the way of another hurricane that they, we all know full goddamn well would not be dealt with the way it's supposed to by not even this administration, by any administration. These are poor people, all right? African people, you know, for the most part, natives and some very poor whites. So who really gives a damn? They got the business community up and going about a week and a half after the water receded. Other people were homeless. Folks have been totally displaced. Can't get back. We're not welcome back. But I mean, don't you guys watch Democracy Now? Or listen to the podcast? Aren't you aware of the fact that they were having meetings on rebuilding New Orleans? But the people who lived in New Orleans were not allowed in the meetings. In fact, they were maced. They were beaten by the local PD. This is the, you know, what? What? Yeah, yeah. Come on, tell me. You know, give me some more rhetoric about how freedom isn't free, Rev, and all of this. Give me a break. Give me a break. Electronic monitoring devices are being forced on people who are trying to get the fuck out of the way of an oncoming disaster in the United States. Land of the free and home of the brave white man who, you know, lives in a myriad of his own making about his own divinity and how he, not she, even though McCain picked a woman, don't think that she's anything about women. they needed to balance out what the hell was coming to them, at them, actually, I should say, from the Democratic Party. How the hell can they beat that? Here you have, you know, a half African. And I'm only pointing it out because he loves to point that out. All right, here you have a half African. He's not half black, see, he's half African. African. See, he makes a point of saying that he and his family has absolutely no direct relationship, experience, or leftover residual damage like the rest of us, like your faithful servant here. You know, that you know, unlike the rest of us, he isn't walking around with this baggage that the good doctor was talking about earlier. So, you know, he's the perfect half-African candidate. Don't you see? He is the reincarnation of Septimus Severus. He was an African that managed through skillful diplomacy and funding from the business community became emperor of the Roman Empire. He was an African. So what did he do when he got all of the power? Well, of course, he turned right around and raised war on his own African people and then took it to Arabs. You know, I mean, was he trying to prove something? You know, what is it? I have absolutely no idea. I can only speculate. But I see the same thing in Barack Obama. I see very little. You know, he talked all this change. Now, those of you who have been, you know, reading the news blog and listening to this show already know that I've been saying that he's been full of, you know, what's the polite word? You know, I don't know. There is no polite word for the vomitus that, you know, he was pushing. And, you know, these white people who feel, you know, like 20% guilty, but 80% by any means necessary. They know that they have to make a change, but they want to maintain privilege. They want to maintain the white status quo. So the fuck if you're going to go for someone like Jesse Jackson or Shirley Chisholm, you know, no. You're going to go, or Cynthia McKinney. No, no, no. See, you're going to go for the half African who is 100% down. 100% down. With the power structure. He sees no difference in standing up for white America and his idea of change. He sees no difference. And what makes things worse is on how many suckers tell the truth. Tell the truth. I know that there's at least a handful of you who listen in the States who really, 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 really know deep down in your heart of hearts when it's just you and your creator that you know full goddamn well that he isn't going to do a thing to change the system. He isn't going to do a thing to change the status quo. You know this, but you're going to vote for him anyway. And then you'll look at Nader, and you'll look at McKinney. And some of you, you know, some of you Republican lurkers who you know, check this out and see what I have to say. You know, those of you who smoke pot and are okay with gay people, well, you'll go for the Libertarian candidate, right? You'll go for Bob Barr. But, you know, you want all of that privilege, but you don't want to pay taxes. And you only want to go into wars that you know that you can win, right? So, you know, you'll vote for the Libertarian. And the Ron Paul diehards, you know, the not-so-honest neo-Nazis among us, well, they're going to go for Ron Paul regardless. They'll just write him in, if they can. Paper ballot. They'll do something to keep Ron Paul, the dream alive, right? I mean, Ron Paul has a black and white problem. And what I mean by that is neo-Nazi Don Black and some Dan White, well, whatever his name is, you know, black and white, you know, they're both neo-Nazis and they're both saying that Ron Paul is basically in concert with their thinking. Of course, he denies this, even though there's evidence to the contrary, including an article he wrote some years ago, which he says isn't evidence of anything, but if I remember correctly, he doesn't deny writing the article. I don't have the details right now, but do the research. Google it. SourceWatch.org is another excellent resource, and people like Ron Paul or any corporation that you want to check out, you know, anything like that. WikiLeaks.org, you know, I mean, the information is out there. Go get it. But yeah, you know, electronic monitoring devices on poor people who are trying to escape disasters, yeah, that's where we're at now. Another release from Adrian Carey Hurley, this is who I got it from. The Republican National Convention Welcome Committee sought sanctuary from illegal disappearances carried out by the Ramsey County Sheriff's Office at the Twin Cities Friends meeting in St. Paul. It turns out that they're just running around arresting people, detaining them. They're searching their homes, they're taking computers, and they're being held without bail on probable cause, but they won't define what the probable cause is. Many of these people have been snatched on the streets by plainclothes officers. So this is the America. I mean, yeah, you really believe that Obama's going to roll all this back? Sure. Sure you do. Sure you do. I mean, well, one can always hope. Right? More news. It turns out that the police now, according to the Associated Press, they're using the GPS in your car and in your phone to locate you, wherever you are. And they're using all of this stuff in court cases. Okay. This is where we're at, people. This is where we're at. This is where we are at. We are at. This is where we are now. And now, it turns out, according to Daniel Nguyen, my editor at Radio Utopia in Germany, that Reuters is now faking images. That they faked photographs of Georgian victims allegedly killed by Russian attacks. Now you can check that out at Radio Utopia yourself. I don't know the exact address. You can Google it, and you can definitely check out the post at angryandinoutblogspot.com. Eloise Cobell is going back to court. She's going to do the appeal thing because they decided to give us 5 cents for what the hell is really owed. But hey. That's where that at. But hey, you know, speaking on that, you know, all of you Indian country people who are 100% behind Obama, you haven't heard yet, huh? Well, you're being used. But then on the other hand, and it's going to be editorial about this tomorrow, you got Mike Graham. You know, they print him up at Indians.com and a few other places. He's been doing, you know, like sneaky work for the McCain campaign in Indian country by coming against Obama. But and that's fine. That's fine. I don't give a damn. I'm not voting. And the only Indians I know that will be voting are the ones that are hanging around the forts anyway. But see, what I'm talking about is he's saying that the basic reason that Indians need to oppose Barack Obama is solely because they think, or he thinks, or at least he's insinuating, that Obama is supportive. Well, actually, he's insinuating. He's supportive of the freedmen. That he takes side with the freedmen against the Cherokee government in Oklahoma. Well, actually, he doesn't. He actually sides with the Cherokee government in this. But it just turns out that, and he points this out himself in his own work, that one of the congresspeople that is one of the funders for the Obama thing, well, she's on the Black Congressional Caucus, and it just happens to turn out that she is in support of the freedmen. So, you know, you take 4 plus 4 and you get 9, right? You know, so it's Republican math. We're not dealing with actual facts.
You know, we're simply dealing with, you know, and I'm not even going to talk about Karl Rove in this sense, because we're really dealing with Goebbels, which is where we get all this shit from in the first place. So, you know, I mean, this is where it comes from. You know, you throw enough mud against the wall, eventually enough of it will stick, that, you know, Joe Sixpack guy here, who needs to blame somebody, because he can't pay his light bill. So, you know, Mexicans, it's becoming a little passé now to blame them for everything, right? So, you know, where do you go? Where do you go? You know, I mean, right now, you know, Jews are not really in the spotlight, you know, unless you're dealing with, you know, David Duke or any of those people. But, you know, what I'm really trying to get to is here, we're all being suckered. And we're all being suckered in a very, very, very big way. And it just really annoys me and shocks me and, you know, really upsets me to the point where I can't digest my dinner that so many of you are falling for. So many of you are falling for. And you regurgitate all of this stuff, and you mean well. But you're really not helping the situation. You're really not helping the situation. And this last little bit here that I want to bring up is that while our people are doing a tourist dance, you know, where you have Cherokees wearing Plains Indian headdress and taking pictures with, you know, Chinese tourists, well, it turns out that they have a native display at Mount Rushmore. We don't need to get into the argument whether it's occupied land or not, because we all know that it's occupied territory. But the thing is, somebody came around and decided, I don't know where the hell this came from, but this came out of nowhere and decided that the Indian display there was three teepees and six employees who I think are native, who basically explain all this nonsense to the tourists, you know, what it is to be native and how proud we are to have been conquered, that it doesn't fit there, that it doesn't have any relevance to Mount Rushmore. The Indians have absolutely nothing to do with Mount Rushmore. If I remember correctly, there was a Red Power protest sometime back in the 70s where there was a lot of tension. Tension. You know, people, there were bats, and I heard there were shotguns, and it was a standoff, and it was like, what was it, 12, 14 hours long, 17 hours long, whatever. It didn't hit the news, because it was dealing with Indians, and, you know, no one was shot, so, you know, it didn't hit the news. But these were Lakota, I believe, who were trying to reclaim Mount Rushmore, which belongs to them, because it's their damn country, and was their country for centuries before the European washed up over here. So, no. Indians don't belong in Mount Rushmore. You know, we have absolutely nothing to do with Mount Rushmore. And this is actually up for debate. But Lance Boltina, and I don't give a damn if I'm pronouncing his name right or not, he says that Native history simply doesn't fit in with the theme of Mount Rushmore, which he says is a celebration of the nation's constitutional ideals and the great presidents who established, preserved, and expanded the Union. That's what he said. So yeah, Native brother and sister, you're not relevant to your own territory. You're not relevant to your own territory. Okay, moving on. This comes in from our gender variant expert, Steph. It turns out that gays have no legal rights, according to the High Court in the ministry anyway. And he's demanding. Now the health minister is demanding that if they legalize homosexuality. He's demanding that they legalize homosexuality, but he's admitting that it's simply not going to happen because, see, the law ministry came up with that he wants them to scrap Section 377 of the Indian Penal Code, which to, you know, prescribes a sentence of up to life imprisonment for those indulging in unnatural sex. Now, this is coming from the land of the Kama Sutra and all of that ornate and sexy stuff outside of the temples. And they've adopted Americanism, because it's not the British. They've adopted Americanism to the point where you can sell sex, but see, you can't actually do it. Isn't that strange? This is the Angry Indian. You've been listening to Radio Intelligente. D.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Internet radio. You are listening to Radio from First Nations, an international internet broadcast of the Intelligent Aboriginal News Service. Angry Indian at blogspot.com.
This ends our news flash.